Good evening.
Good evening.
I invite your attention to the first epistle of Peter the Apostle, chapter 1. First Peter, chapter 1. I am blessed and delighted to be here. I remember the first time, those many years ago, and when Pastor Mahan was here with you, and it's a blessing to be here now some 30 years later. Pray the Lord's blessings be upon us this night as it was then. My text is verse number 19. My subject is the precious blood of Christ. I begin reading in verse number 18, looking at our redemption negatively. Peter says that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. Then in verse number 19, he treats our redemption positively in saying that you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained, predestined to be for the foundation of the world from all eternity, but was manifest or revealed, made known in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Look at that phrase, the precious blood of Christ. That which is precious is of great price, held in high esteem, greatly honored, thought to be especially dear. Precious things to men generally are the things of this world, the silver and the gold of which we hear read, precious metals and such as that. But to the saint, the child of God, the believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even more esteemed, more precious, more dear is this precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His blood is precious to us for at least three reasons. It is precious because of whose blood it is. It is precious, second, because of what it is. And third, it is precious because of what it does. And tonight, God willing, we're going to consider the subject of this blood of Christ is precious because of whose blood it is. Blood has value, and generally great value. You know that if you've ever had to have surgery and had to have blood bought for you. The value of blood depends upon the person whose blood it is and the estimation of that person in someone else's sight. God lets us know this when he says, he who sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in God's image he was made. God highly esteems his image, and the shedding of blood is an affront against the image of God itself. We think of our liberties and freedoms, at least some of us do, as having been bought for us by the blood of patriots from 1776 and down to the present age. We highly regard our liberties because we hold precious that blood of many thousands of soldiers who died in order that we might have these freedoms and these liberties. Blood has value to God's preachers because we desire to be innocent of blood guiltiness. We read in the revelation of Jesus Christ of the blood of martyrs crying out to God, "How long, O Lord?" Our blood is of value. They know that, and God knows that, and He shall avenge it. Blood has value. But no blood has more value. No blood is more precious than that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not all men feel that way. Pontius Pilate did at least consider that the blood of Jesus Christ was consequential. Not nearly consequential enough, but he said, "I'm washing my hands of the blood of this man." He knew there was consequence to be had if this blood was shed. Jesus' countrymen considered his blood inconsequential. They said, "Crucify him." They despised his blood so much they said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." Men preaching universal redemption consider the blood of Jesus Christ a common thing. The scriptures say so, Hebrews 10:29. They considered the blood a common thing. That word common, if you'll look it up, it means belonging to the general population and not restricted to a few. It's a common thing. They will trample it under their feet in the doctrine of universal atonement that they preach. God forbid that none of us consider the blood of Jesus Christ merely consequential, nor that we consider it despicable, nor that we consider it of no consequence at all, nor as a mere common thing. To the child of God, we concur with Peter the Apostle when he says, "His blood is precious." It is precious because of whose it is, and in the first place, this is the blood of Christ. That's Peter's term for it. This is the blood of Christ. This is the blood of Jehovah's anointed, the Messiah, for that is the very written meaning of the name, the Christ. This is that one of whom Jehovah declares, "This is my anointed son." This is Jehovah's anointed prophet. This is Jehovah's anointed priest, and this is Jehovah's anointed king. This is the blood of the prophet who not only prophesied of his redeeming death, but the prophet who died to make it effectual. This is the blood of the priest who not only made a sacrifice for sin, but the priest who shed his own blood in order to effect that sacrifice. This is the blood of the only king who ever died for his people as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. This is the blood of Jehovah's anointed, and therefore his blood is precious unto us. This is second, the blood of Jesus Christ. You can read that in verse 2. Peter writes that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification in the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Christ in one place, it is the blood of Jesus Christ in another. Not only is he Jehovah's anointed, but he is Jehovah who is the salvation, for that is the very meaning of the name Jesus. It means Jehovah is salvation. He was given that name for a very good reason. He shall save his people from their sins. And how shall he do that? He'll shed his blood to effect their salvation. He who is the salvation will shed his blood, and in the shedding of his blood, he will save his people. Therefore, I say to you that if the salvation of God's people and if the Savior of God's people is precious to you, then surely his blood is. This is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is third, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. My friend, this is the blood of the person who is most precious to God Himself, His only begotten Son, his darling one, his beloved one. This is the blood of the most precious person in all the universe to Jehovah. It's the blood of his own son. I am greatly blessed and much delighted to be the father of two blessed and delightful children. I can point you to a young man and say of him, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." I can point to a young lady and I can say to you, "This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased." You may ask, "Well, why are you well pleased?" I'm glad to tell you, they both have come to Christ. They both have forsaken their lives of sin. They've come to Christ for salvation, redemption, justification, sanctification, and every other blessing found in Jesus Christ. They're endeavoring to live their lives to his glory. They have brought great delight to my soul when I recall what they were in a former time. I must tell you, as you probably would know already, there was a time when they did not bring such delight to me. There were times when they greatly grieved my soul in their conduct, in their sins, in their profligacy, at least to some degree. But I'm happy to report to you that those days for the most part are over, and now they bring great delight to me. I had a conversation with a pastor a few years ago. He had been preaching in New Caney, Texas, and he had arrived before the worship service started and had sat on the front row. He was telling me that a young man came and sat down on the row beside him, and no introductions were made. They just struck up a conversation and they began talking, and this pastor told me, he said that he was very impressed with this young man. He could tell he was a new Christian, but greatly impressed. He said, "Well, who are you?" And he said, "I'm Moose Parks' son." And the man told me the story, and I'm glad to say, "That's my son in whom I'm well pleased." I was speaking with another pastor a few months ago, and he told me that my daughter had come to attend a worship service, and he had known her for some years, and he was commenting on what a great difference there was in what she once was and what she now is. And he said, "You know, she is undoubtedly a new creature in Christ." And I'm happy to say, that's my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Well pleased because of what God has done. But bear in mind, I was not always well pleased. Not in every moment. Not in some of their younger years. But I can tell you of God's Son in whom he has always been well pleased.
Amen.
The Son himself declares that from all eternity, before the foundation of the world, I was daily Jehovah's delight. God Almighty calls him my elect one in whom my soul is well pleased. God the Father on two occasions announced from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Did so at his baptism. Jesus walked to see the man of whom the scriptures declare never was one greater born of woman than this man, John the Baptist. Jesus went to John the Baptist seeking baptism. And John said, "Lord, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me." And Jesus said, "John, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness." And John said, "Okay." They're two of the greatest men who ever lived, who ever walked the face of this earth, standing there in River Jordan. And God announced from heaven of one of them, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God's well pleased with him. I should be. On another occasion, Jesus is on a mountain We call it the Mount of Transfiguration, and there he was transfigured in glowing form before his disciples. And they see, and lo and behold, there he is on the mountain, Jesus Christ, walking with no less than Moses and Elijah, two of the greatest prophets who ever lived. And they see those three great men, and one of them says, "We need to build three tabernacles. Let's build one for Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Right there, three tabernacles. And God put an end to that misconceived notion immediately, announcing from heaven of one of those men, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." You heard Moses and Elijah in days past, but in these last days, God has spoken by his dear Son. Hear him. "This is my beloved Son." Now, my friend, if Jesus Christ from all eternity has daily been Jehovah's delight, if Jehovah himself declares, "He is my elect, my chosen one, who in whom my soul delights and who brings me great pleasure." If Jehovah declares, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," do you not suppose that his blood is precious to God? Do you not suppose? Undoubtedly. And if the blood of Jesus Christ is precious to Jehovah our God, surely it should be to you and me. This is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Fourth, this is the blood of the Lamb, and not merely a lamb, but the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The only Lamb who ever took away the sin of the world. Lambs have been sacrificed as offerings to God, undoubtedly from the dawn of creation. In about the year 1440 BC, at Mount Sinai, Jehovah entered into a covenant with Israel and gave them a system of sacrifices. A lamb was to be sacrificed every morning. A lamb was to be sacrificed every evening. Two lambs were to be sacrificed every Sabbath day. And for almost 1,500 years, minus perhaps the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, every day and every Sabbath, these lambs were sacrificed. Think about it. For going on 1,500 years, in addition to these, the lambs of the holy festivals. In addition to these, the lambs that were given in other offerings. My friend, there were perhaps millions of these lambs slain over the years, and never was a single solitary sin ever taken away. Never. Never. With every sacrifice, there was the reminder that sin remains, and a sacrifice must be made again. But one day, there comes a man walking along the Jordan, and John the Baptist looks at him and he says, "Behold, there he is, the Lamb of God, and sin will finally be taken away. Here is blood that finally, once for all, will take away sin, the only blood that ever did so. This blood is so precious that it could actually take away sin, blot them out, and put them out of God's memory forever. This is the blood of the Lamb." I tell you, it is no wonder that this blood is more precious than silver and gold, for it does what none of those things and all of them together cannot do. Not only is this the blood of the Lamb, but fifth, this is the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Peter alludes to this in our text in verse 20, saying that this Lamb without blemish and without spot was predestined, foreordained, in God's eternal counsel before the foundation of the world, but manifest in last times. There on Calvary, when Jesus Christ shed his blood, when that precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed by men, What happened then was God making manifest what had happened before the foundation of the world in a lamb slain in heaven's decree on heaven's altar before time began. What was made manifest to men in time was what God predestined and considered already done before time began. This is that lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And everything that was effected by that blood at Calvary, redemption, propitiation, the means by which God justified sinners, sanctified the unholy, everything that God did and effected in time there on Calvary had already been considered as done in God's eternal decree before time began. This blood of Jesus Christ, I say to you, my friend, is eternally precious. It ran from heaven's altar before time began. And it was precious to God before time began. Did not become precious to me until many, many years afterward. But I can look at it now and say, what precious blood, precious to God before time began. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Furthermore, number 6, this blood of Jesus Christ is precious because it is, listen carefully, it is the blood of God Himself. The blood of God Himself. Paul the Apostle declares that the church of God was purchased with God's own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. God purchased His blood, His church, with His own blood. Now, how did God do that? God had to be manifested in the flesh in order to do that. God was manifested in the flesh and therefore took upon Him the blood of flesh, and it flowed in His veins. And you cannot separate this deity and the humanity of our Lord and Savior. So much so that Paul says God purchased God's church with God's own blood. That man on that cross is God manifested in the flesh. Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 1:27, the blood of the Lord. And if you'll read Paul's epistles, you'll soon come to the realization that when Paul uses that word Lord, it usually is in the context of Jehovah Himself. This is the blood of the Lord. This is the blood of the Lord God Jehovah, God manifested in the flesh. This is the blood of Him of whom Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He looked at the very wounds from which that blood had flowed and called Him my Lord and my God. Oh, my friend, is the blood of God precious to you? God Himself would condescend to take on our humanity so that on Calvary, the God-man would know what it is to shed His blood for sinners. Oh, my soul. What precious blood this is. Seventh and last, this is the blood of the most precious person to Jehovah's people. Christ is precious to Jehovah. And He's precious to all Jehovah's people because Jehovah and His people are in love with the same person, Jesus Christ, His Son. Peter declares in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, to you who believe, He is precious. He is despised by men and acquainted with grief, reviled of people, blasphemed, and abominated by men who with wicked hands took him and nailed him to a tree. They do not consider him precious. No one does but believers. To you who believe, he is precious. Do you believe? If he's precious to you, you do. And if you believe, he is precious to you. More precious than silver and gold. More precious than all the wealth of this world. This is why that we constantly preach about Christ's blood. I dare say that I will not be the only preacher to do so tonight, nor tomorrow. To one degree or another, we preach this blood. Someone told me some time ago, well, we just don't hear many messages about the blood of Jesus Christ anymore. And my response is, maybe you need to listen to a different preacher.
Yes, sir.
We preach it. Why? Preachers always preach what is most precious to them. And to you who believe, and that includes me, he's precious. I preach him because he's precious. The most precious thing in the world. And I can't preach him without preaching his precious blood. This precious blood of Christ. And Christ's people desire to hear it preached. Yes, this is called a slaughterhouse religion. Yes, we are told that we have some weird and wild fascination with blood. No, it is not weird and wild. It is holy and sanctified and just. We do have a fascination with it. We treat it with respect and reverence, but it is precious. To you who believe, he is precious, and we consider that that blood was shed so that I might be precious to God, so that God might behold me in forgiveness, so that God might be merciful and gracious unto me, the precious blood of Christ. Is he precious to you? If he never has been, may he be so now. And if he's precious to you, his blood will be too. Is his blood precious to you?